The Red Alert Radio team are taking a summer break and will be back live in February. Till then, they've chosen some of their best interviews from the last year, and we're going to be playing some of those for you now.
Welcome to Red Alert Radio. Grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Tēnā koutou katoa and mālo nere, everyone. Welcome to the show today. I'm Maria Meredith, a local board member from Maungakiki Tamaki, and today is my first show ever, and I'm excited about this new adventure. So today I wanted to welcome my guest, Shane Henderson, who's the current chair of Auckland's Henderson Massey Local Board.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, Shane. Now, before we start this discussion, I just wanted to let listeners know that I was elected to the Maungakiki Tamaki Local Board through a by-election back in May this year. So I stood for the local board because of the major redevelopments that are happening in Tamaki and the impact of these changes, particularly for people, housing, the environment, the infrastructure and changing landscape. So for me personally, it was important to support our community during this time of change and be part of the solution. So when I was asked to do the show, I thought long and hard about what my first interview would be about. So I decided to have a discussion around what's it like being an experienced local board member. And the reason why, I'm relatively new to local politics, so this sparked my interest in asking someone who's experienced in this area, like my guest here, Shane Henderson, to share his experiences with us today. The idea is to talk about what you can tell people out there what it's like to be a local board member, and then along the way I'll ask you some questions. So Shane here is a former lawyer, a member of the Waitakere Licensing Trust, and he is the chairperson of Henderson Massey Local Board, and I understand he is one of the youngest chairpersons.
That's right.
Yeah. On the local board. So he was born and raised in West Auckland and is a proud Westie, so welcome, Shane.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Okay, Shane. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Shane, and your background and your family?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in West Auckland. I went to Kelston Boys High School, so shout out for anyone there that's from Kelston. But I've lived all my life in the West, and I currently live in Te Aritu South with my partner and my little three-year-old. It's paradise on earth, basically. It's beautiful, and my whole family are Westies all the way back as well. And pretty passionate too. So, you know, what we like, we've got a bit of an independent spirit out there. So whenever I go and have dinner with my gran or my parents or something, and they always talk about politics, it's good fun.
Oh, that's really interesting, Shane. So my first question for you, Shane, is why did you enter local government politics, and who influenced you?
Yeah, I guess I was kind of an accidental politician, I guess, in local government. I never really thought of getting into this. And I hope that, you know, through this discussion today, there might be someone out there that thinks, you know, should I stand or shouldn't I stand? This could be something that might give you a little bit more information, so it's quite cool. So long and short of it, I went through law school and went to University of Auckland, and then came out and became a lawyer through community law. So I spent 6 years giving free legal advice in Henderson, and also going out and training people in sort of their own rights. And I went into prisons, and I went into work and income and a bunch of different things to kind of help people. So that was really cool. And it really got me in touch with the local issues and what people really do need to help them to get a better start in life, right? But I think the accidental part was what really kind of sparked me. A synthetic cannabis store opened next to my office.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed all around me in Henderson and the place that I grew up that things were declining quite rapidly, and there were empty shops, and there was a lot more people struggling to get into housing and a whole bunch of stuff. And so I thought, goodness, I need to be part of that system and try and change things for people. And basically I wanted to shut down that synthetic cannabis store as well.
Ah.
And it was really cool. We, every Friday we picketed the front of the store and we had bullhorns and we had chants. And oh yeah, cool stuff.
Okay.
Cool stuff. And so I sort of started to find out a bit more about it and local government. And a couple of people that really influenced me a lot was our local MP, Phil Twyford, who's doing a fantastic job now as Minister of Housing and Transport. And we're really proud of him in Te Aritu. And I had a good chat with him and he sort of said, you know, why don't you have a look at this? And this is quite cool. And also a shout out to Paula Bold-Wilson, who's now on my board with me in Henderson Massey, but at the time she was my boss at Community Law. Yeah. And she was really helpful and influenced me a lot, both in terms of kind of what we need to do to help people get ahead out there, but also sort of arranging my work so I could stand for the local board and then I got elected. So, yeah, it was quite cool. Yeah, and that's how I got here.
So did you get elected straight onto the local board?
So I stood in 2013 and I was lucky to get elected first time.
Yes.
And so I was deputy for that term, and then I got re-elected in 2016, and so now the chair. And we've got campaigns next year, so we're back into it again.
Yes, and I saw how much you won by, so congratulations.
Thank you.
A huge margin. I mean, there's no catching up to that one.
Oh, you're too nice, Maria. Thank you.
Now, my second question, Shane, is as a local board member and, of course, chairperson, what do you enjoy most about the job? And then we'll talk about the challenges later.
Yeah. I think the thing that sounds really cheesy, right? Mm. But the thing I enjoy most about the job is the people. You know, I spend a lot of time going to community events and in my downtime when I'm not in meetings and things, I go out door knocking and I go and meet people on the street and sort of ask them how we can improve things in their neighbourhood. And we hear a lot of different experiences. But most importantly, being West Auckland, a lot of passion for their community.
Yes.
That's what I love. That's so cool. So I just love that kind of people contact. That's really cool.
Yes. So what about the challenges have you found in the community? What are some of the challenges? There usually is in every community.
Yes. So within our communities of Henderson Massey, there is a bit of a challenge, and it'll be, you'd know all about this in Manukiki Tāmaki in terms of high growth.
Yes.
Right? So we're a community that is poised to really grow rapidly and take on a lot of new housing and hopefully more better transport links and those kind of things. That's going to mean really exciting opportunities, of course, and my community generally really support this stuff. But it's also challenges about how do we accommodate that extra growth and, you know, what does our community look like in 30 years? And people have different views about that. And so the challenge for me is to kind of consult as widely as I can and to try and sort of help people along and hear different views and kind of see what we can do about it.
Yeah. I really like your direct approach and, you know, approaching people and actually asking them, you know, what are the issues and finding out a wee bit more, because it's similar to Maungakeke Tāmaki, but in particular in Tāmaki, where there's a lot of redevelopment, a lot of uncertainty, but you know that the neighbourhood is just going to change over the next few years.
Yeah.
So, that's great. So, the other question I wanted to ask you is, can you name two or three key issues you see as being important to focus on as a local board?
Wow, how long we got? Smack it. Okay. So I think there are three key issues here. So number one is housing. I'm always interested to hear about how things are going on your side of the world as well.
Yes.
So housing is one. Obviously, transport is number two, and those are really interesting issues out west. And the third issue, I think, is probably public facilities, because if we're taking on a bunch of new houses, building new communities, they actually need to have things like parks and swimming pools and things like that that can really make their community more successful and a better place to live. So we'll probably take those one at a time, eh?
I think for sure that those particular three issues will apply to our own area as well, because, I mean, as the urban sprawl or development happens, the numbers are set to double. So how do you cater for that? But certainly housing, transport and having facilities and infrastructure already there for the new, well, it will be a new community,
new
10 to 50,
right? Yeah.
50
yeah, yeah.
years from now. But yeah, so anyway, tell us about...
Places like Stonefields weren't there like 10 years ago.
No, that's right over the quarry.
Yeah.
And in your particular area, where are the housing developments being targeted?
So we've already got a lot planned in Red Hills, which is kind of the rural bit of Massey.
Yes.
And that's poised to take on a lot of housing. And we've already had large growth in north, just outside my border area of Hobsonville. And Kumeu is going to take on a lot as well. And in addition to all of those things, we are arguing as a local board quite strongly for housing in Henderson. Now, that's a no-brainer to me,
yes.
because we're right on a train line, and we've got this beautiful parkland, we've got a fantastic swimming pool, and it's a metropolitan centre with plenty of jobs there, and hopefully plenty more. We're going to do that. And most importantly, council actually owns a lot of land in Henderson. So we're working with Panuku Development Auckland, and basically trying to get as much housing in there as the community can sustain and as the infrastructure can sustain, because we've got a duty, I think, with the housing crisis for all of us across Auckland to do our bit.
Yes.
And fantastically, the West Auckland community, I think, really understand that. And most people contact me saying, we want houses.
Yes.
it's quite funny. I mean, in other parts of Auckland, they sort of say, don't put housing here. Don't put housing over there.
Yes.
Well, in Henderson, we say, put housing in. You know, bring them in. Because we see community benefits as local residents as well, where the more people live in your town centre, that means more jobs.
Yes.
That means just a more exciting place to live.
Yes.
It means all of our empty shops are filled with great quality businesses that
That's
people
right.
can enjoy.
Yes.
You know, it's just going to be fantastic. I'm really excited. And so those are really the places that we're looking at. Although all across West Auckland, there is going to be some extra housing in various pockets as well.
And just in terms of, we'll just touch on one more, which is transport.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what I do like is the Northwestern Motorway. It has definitely improved over time. But, tell us a little bit about transport out west.
Yeah, so there are two big projects that I think is absolutely essential. So basically, if you live in the northwest of the city, so if you live in Massey or if you live in Te Atatū or Kumeu or places like that, it doesn't matter how much money is in your bank account. You're in transport poverty.
Yes.
Because you are stuck on Don Buck Road in your car for hours and hours and hours when you could be spending that time with your family.
Yes.
Right? And that's a shame. That's a tragedy, really. You've got no choice because a lot of the jobs are away from that area and the public transport is not adequate.
Yes.
So, and we're fantastic the government is looking at this. We need Northwestern Light Rail along the Northwestern Motorway to serve those places in Te Atatū and in Massey. That's really important. And the other thing the local board are looking at and that we're really excited about is it's a faux pathway, it's called.
Yes.
So I don't know if any of the listeners out there have been to New Plymouth, where there is a fantastic boardwalk and path that goes all along the coast.
Yes.
We're looking at that on the coast of West Auckland as well, so that you can walk or cycle from Newlyn.
Yes.
All the way through Glendine, all the way up to Te Atatū South, and all the way through to the peninsula. And that's not just going to be a really cool thing for locals. I think that's going to be a sneaky tourist attraction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's
beautiful.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think we're doing something very similar in our Maunga Kiki Tamaki local board, but it's connecting the east coastal pathway. So we're building
fantastic.
One currently through Mount Wellington that connects up to Pāmu and then on to Pakaranga. But it's going to look amazing and it'll be a great facility for the public to use in the future. So I think that project finishes next year. So
well done. I mean, you've got that awesome walk around the Tamaki Basin and all that stuff.
It is beautiful. It's just a stunning area to live in. And just like West Auckland, there's so many beautiful reserves out there and pathways.
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing.
Great part of the country.
Now, I'd like you just to sort of touch just a little bit on the facilities. Obviously, there's a lot of aging facilities out in
our
communities.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I just have to mention it because I mention it everywhere I go, all the time, all day, every day. Massey needs a public swimming pool right now.
Right now.
Right now. There is only one pool to serve the entire of West Auckland.
Yes.
And we're talking about over 250,000 people. It's absolutely crazy.
Just one pool. One pool.
Oh, yeah, it's a pretty fantastic pool, let's be honest, but it is just one pool. So we're arguing for Massey to have a neighbourhood swimming pool to serve Kumeu, Hobsonville and those northwestern areas.
Yes.
Really great news as well is that council are looking at the moment on a pool to serve the faux kind of inner west area, so your Avondale and Newland and stuff. We support that. We think that's fantastic. But it doesn't quite meet our need as well. So so we're arguing that, that council should step up.
Oh, gosh, I didn't know that, Shay. I mean, we've got two pools in our neighbourhood, but then across all the rest of the area, there are pools in the different areas. So,
we've got two
in Tamaki. And then you've only got one to service 250,000 people. That is crazy.
Well, it's not just fun. It's not just a recreational issue. I think it's a health issue.
Yes, that's right. I think it's really important because you want, you know, community well-being to be ongoing, and especially if you install a new pool, that'll just have great benefits for people.
And I think West Aucklanders take that argument of, you know, we're happy to have new housing, but that comes with some quid pro quo, shall we say.
All right. So my last question for you, Shane, is what advice would you give people who are thinking about entering local politics?
Get into it.
Okay. So what would you, I mean, what would people expect if they're going to go into, you know, if they want to stand as a candidate, what would people expect?
I think it's a fantastic way to make your community a better place to live. And if that sort of flicks your switch, then you should really think about it. And if you kind of want more practical advice around that, then there's plenty of people that you can approach to have a few chats. So I'm one. You can chat to Maria as well. She's good people. And basically that we make real decisions here that actually impact on people's lives around parks and community events and transport and things like that. That people, you know, it's really going to affect people. We actually have budget to make changes and everything.
And I think I read somewhere about an interview that was done with you about the reason why you entered it. And you wanted to make a difference. And also be part of the solution. And you mentioned earlier that about looking around your community and seeing that, you know, down the road that didn't look right, this is falling apart, there's, you know, not good, enough good quality shops out there. But, just being aware of what the issues in your community is so important. And then, like you said earlier on, is ask people, what's going on? Tell me.
Like, you're kind of a community connector, right? Like, the synthetic cannabis thing's a really good example. So I got elected in 2013, and we got rid of synthetic cannabis sales being out in the open locally, even just before the government changed the situation there. So that was really cool. But really on local government, I only did my bit. You know, that was a small part of that overall kaupapa. The community really drove that. There were things like marches and all sorts of stuff. And it was just really cool to see the residents activated like that. And in the local government, you can do your bit, but it's kind of a wider kaupapa as well.
I really like that approach. I mean, obviously the seed is planted and, you know, if they see people out there doing things, they'd want to participate, especially if it's around a key important issue such as synthetic cannabis. Anyway, back to your shop. What happened to that shop?
It's gone.
Oh,
well,
fantastic.
It's still there, but they don't sell synthetic cannabis anymore.
Okay. And would there be any other advice you'd have to somebody who's thinking about going in? I mean, obviously there's... you probably need to have good support, a bit of money behind you and that kind of thing.
Yeah, a bit. I mean, if money is an issue, then there's ways to get around that, I think. The key number one is to be involved in your community, I think. So things like getting on your local rugby club committee, that kind of stuff, that's actually really important. Mm-hmm. And through that kind of work, you're just getting a lot out of it yourself, but you're also hearing things about, you know, why don't they upgrade this park? Why don't they do this and that?
Yes.
You can be they. Yeah. You can jump in and try and upgrade that park on behalf of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just get more involved in your community. That's my sort of number one advice.
Yeah. I mean, certainly before I got involved myself,
yeah.
I mean, I was aware of the issues and, you know, I just sort of thought to myself, instead of complaining and moaning about it, just get in
there
and throw your hat in the ring and just stand for election and see what happens. And then, like yourself, you didn't expect the outcome to be the way it is, and now you're elected, but you're much more aware of the issues that face people, the environment, transport, you know, the green spaces.
Yeah.
They're all so important to our people in the community, and just to hear people voice their concerns is really important, because it does help you with your decision making as well. So, Shane.
Yes.
You're a busy man.
Thank you.
Being the chairperson. So, I mean, what are the current issues that you're actually dealing with now?
Right now, goodness, where do I begin? It's a lot of stuff.
Mm.
And particularly this time of year, because as you know, the whole country basically shuts down over summer.
Yes.
So there's a hell of a lot of constituency work and inquiries I've got to do with people.
Yes.
Like there is a, for example, there's no job too small in local government, and there is a path near a train station in Western Heights in Henderson that looks like an earthquake has hit it, basically, and there's fences falling away and stuff. And if you trip over, you could fall onto the railroad tracks.
Okay.
You know, it's a really scary thing, right? Yes. So the local residents in that community have basically told me to go and get this fixed. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I finish this interview, I'm off to go and talk to Auckland Transport about that.
Oh, okay.
So it's these things that can be quite large, like a multi-million dollar swimming pool.
Yes.
Or quite small, like
a path.
A path, yeah. You know. They're all equally important because it's part of that community well-being. So that's kind of some of the things I'm working on at the moment, is kind of some of those smaller issues that will actually make a big difference.
Certainly. I mean, I'm well aware of those issues. I mean, before you'd spot these things when you're walking around in the community, I mean, this is before even getting onto the local board.
Yeah,
you'd
be
thinking, who's taking care of that broken footpath or whatever? I suppose if you think about it in the broader schemes of things, Shane, is that everyone in the community has a part to play in it. I mean, not only are we elected, but if people, talk to us or report things to the local board or to Auckland Council, I mean, they're all part of this process of making our community a better place to live in.
So, Maria, what inspired you to get involved in all of this now that you're elected? Well done.
Okay. pretty much, like I said earlier on, Shane, it was more about watching the redevelopments and, you know, like you, I was out protesting for various things with my community members, objecting to the changes. But it kind of reached a stalemate where we knew that redevelopment was going to happen whether we liked it or not.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't frustrated, but I had spent a long time in the community working for the church or for the school and watching all these changes. And, you know, in our own area, we had 6 liquor shops.
Wow.
In a very small area. And then people were applying for licenses to open up new ones. And I got involved by signing this massive petition with thousands of others, which was led by a lawyer.
Well done, yeah.
That blocked this shop from being established just across the road from a school.
Yeah.
So from there I just had been doing a few other things, being involved with the Labour elections over the years since 2008. But I just thought that's enough. Get out there and throw your hat in the ring and participate in the solutions.
Well done. I'm sure that the listeners here would sort of find that really inspiring. That's really great.
Yeah, no. I think, especially when you've got kids. I've got 4 children, and they've all got their own opinions, but they're very vocal about politics.
Great. Yeah, I mean, that sort of reminds me of the synthetic cannabis side of things for me as well, because council in the early kind of development had these maps where, just like a local alcohol policy, you couldn't sell alcohol in a place, you also couldn't sell synthetic cannabis in a place.
Yes.
Right? That was the first approach.
Yes.
The map actually left out the Massey shops, which wasn't exactly next to the school, but it was where all the school children disembarked from the bus.
Yes.
So they would have to walk past the synthetic cannabis shop to go to school.
Mm.
Yeah, so we worked with those businesses there, and we got that included in the in that kind of exclusion zone where you couldn't sell it, and that was a really good thing.
Yes.
So it's those little changes that you can make, eh?
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, you kind of think you can't make a change, but it's interesting. Whatever issues there are happening, like, for example, in Tamaki with the Open Space Planning Network, people are passionate about issues and they get really hot under the collar.
Yeah.
Especially if they think they're going to lose their park or lose something in the community, they all start to rally up and get behind an issue and voice their opinion. So I think it's fantastic.
That's really cool.
Yes.
And one of the challenges of our role, I think, is that there are people out there with a lot of passion, right? There's got to be a way of somehow channeling that passion towards making the change.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And you really have to, be part of the change to, find solutions. And if you think about the community that you work in and the community that I work in, I've never met so many people. That's one thing I love about the job is meeting so many people, hearing about their issues, but I'm more focused on finding a solution to their issues. And I try my very best. If somebody asks me something, I'll say I'll get back to them. And I try and set a time frame for myself.
Yeah.
And of course, I rely on the advice from the local board advisors as well, and our chairperson.
Yeah.
So I think we're, across the board, like your own board, each person on that board plays a really important role to connect with their community and constituents.
Totally. And I think kind of just on a philosophical level that, the working person, the people doing it tough, they need representation at all levels of government.
Yes.
So central government's doing a fantastic job. We would say that, but they are. But in local government as well, people that are doing it tough, they really rely on these public services like libraries and parks and things to make their children's lives a lot better.
Yes.
And so it's quite cool that we can be a part of that.
Yeah. And one thing I certainly like about the role from local board is that you connect with your governing body person, who is the councillor in the area, and from the councillor you have a connection to central government.
Yeah.
And those people, the list MP or the MP for the areas, come and work and support the local board area, which is something I'm learning about.
And I
think it's amazing that we go from local to central and have that direct contact and pathway to support our issues.
It's that really strong relationship you can have.
Yeah, and it's so important. That's part of the exciting thing about being on the local board.
Yeah, we're really lucky to have Phil Twyford as our MP.
Yes.
Locally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when we talk about needing housing and needing this kind of thing, then Phil and I can sort of work directly together on this kind of stuff. So that's really cool. And we've just got a great relationship between local and central here.
Yeah. I mean, our MP is Denise Crum, our councillor is Josephine Bartley, but we work closely with Anahila.
Yeah.
Who's our listing MP, and Priyanka.
Yeah. That's right.
It's really important to have those connections.
What a great team that is. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So the good thing is we know that we are not alone.
Yeah.
Anyway, Shane, so thank you very much
for
the interview today, and it's been a pleasure interviewing you, and thank you for being my first guest.
Loved it. Thank you so much, and I hope the listeners out there enjoyed it a bit too. So, yeah, good on you, and have a good day, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers.
Together next week at 9:05 a.m. or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/Red Alert Radio.
A whole world of radio on planetaudio.org.nz.
Dropping into a tube. Any surfer will tell you that's a dream. Dropping into a mental nightmare. La La Land. Fear. Nightmares. That's for loonies, psychos.